بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسل الله تعالى بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا داعيا الى الله باذنه وسراجا منيرا فما بعد فقال تعالى يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن الا وانتم مسلمون وقال يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم اعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما يا عباد الله يا إخوان وأخوات في الإسلام أقول لك كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم لصاحبه في الغار لا تحزن إن الله معنا دليلي في هذا الأقوال قال جل وعلا إن الله مع الذين اتقوا والذين هم محسنون اللهم اجعلنا من المتقين واجعلنا من المحسنين. My dear brothers and sisters and elders, I want to begin by saying to you what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said to his companion Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu in ghar as-Sawr. He said, لا تحزن إن الله معنا. He said, do not grieve. Do not fear. Do not be sad. Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu is with us. And my dalil for saying this to you is the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu himself promised us and said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مُحْسِنُونَ Allah said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with the people of taqwa and with the people who do ihsan. And that is why my dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu is to make us among those who will be counted by him as muttaqoon and muhsinoon inshaAllah. There is a basic principle in debating, negotiating and marriage. And that is never react to provocation. The thing to do instead is to do the opposite of what the opponent expects. I sometimes suggest to those who come to me with mother-in-law problems to go and hug and kiss the mother-in-law when she says something provocative. That will have one of two results. Either she will die of shock and so your problem is solved, or she will change her mind about you and your problem will be solved. So either way, you win. The problem with reacting to provocation is that by doing so, you are not hurting the provoker, but are playing into his hands. You are his dream come true. You are a heaven-sent reward for him. You are the puppet whose strings he controls. He is not upset or angry at what you do, he is delighted. By your reaction, you have justified his action. You have demonstrated that he had been right all along. Once you react, he need not say anything anymore. You are now his biggest helper and evidence, and he salutes you, not in public of course, but in his heart. Thank you very much, O Muslims, for always delivering gold. That is how the Islamophobic industry thrives. Today I stand before you and with you in pain. When we look at what is happening in France, where the despicable cartoons mocking Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were displayed on major buildings. Also all the punitive illegitimate actions taken against Muslim institutions, apparently in retaliation for the horrible action of the Muslim man who retaliated against the teacher who displayed cartoons of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to his class. I began my khutbah in this way to try to help you to understand the game board, Because if you do not understand the game board, you can never win the game. The game is called people control. The world is run by 0.1% of the population. This elite group needs to control the rest of the population, for which the biggest challenge is to get the population to accept those restrictions on their freedom, invasion of their privacy, and manipulation of their lives. There are two ways to achieve this. One is through force, which comes at a huge cost. The other is to create a situation where you get people to volunteer to give you information and accept restrictions which they would otherwise have refused and fought against tooth and nail. Let me give you an example, which I am sure we all understand. Remember a time when we, at least some of us, used to write diaries in which we recorded some of our most private, intimate thoughts. If someone read that diary without our permission, we would go ballistic. Remember the time when if our parents or siblings or even friends asked us where we had been, where did you go, who did you meet, what did you do, we would resent it, we would be upset, and we would say this is an invasion of our privacy. Today we call this Facebook and Instagram. And we marvel at how Mark Zuckerberg got so rich. Just think how this happened. How did someone persuade you to give him monetizable data, including the most intimate details of your life, freely and voluntarily for nothing? He persuaded you that this was good for you. You bought the story and he's laughing all the way to the bank, while you continue to boost his net worth every time you post something. Thank you very much. In Hyderabadi Urdu, we have a saying which says, Maut se dara hai to bukhar ko razi hote bolte hum log. You threaten somebody with death and they will accept having a fever. We are seeing this in a good way with COVID-19 virus. People are healthier and cleaner and our cities are less polluted and families have come together, not because all these are good things, but because we fear death by COVID. So people have accepted restrictions on their movement. They have changed their behavior and they have adopted new ways because they are afraid. Fear is and has always been a very powerful motivator. What is happening in the world with France and Denmark at the forefront is the same experiment with tragically the same success. Stoking fears so that people will accept more and more restrictions on their lives and accept more and more control of their movements, of their earnings, savings, spending, activities, and do it all voluntarily and happily because they fear the, within quotes, threat. Going back a bit in history, that manufactured threat at one time was the Jews for a few hundred years. Then it was the communists. Now it is the Muslims. And of course, in this country and elsewhere, it has always been the black man. This is called othering, where you focus on what is different in the other person and interpret that in a negative way to project him or her as a threat to you and yours. The actions of the other, when they support your premise and allegation, are exactly the proof you need to convert the doubters. What gaming experts need is proof of concept. They need to show evidence that what they say is real. They need to prove the presence of a real threat. For this, they need the collaboration and the cooperation of the opposite party. They get that by provoking to get an angry response. That response they show to the world and say, see what I told you? These guys are violent. That is why he and his kind must be restrained and confined. That is why we need controls, which will include, of course, checking all of you, because we don't know who is hiding among you. The reaction is so horrible that people forget the provocation and agree to accept the restrictions. This is exactly what is happening today in the world. And we Muslims are the reactors who are enabling those who want to control global populations to do so. We are their dream come true. Without our collaboration, they would fail miserably. Like a doctor who knows where to strike your knee with his rubber hammer to get the classic knee-jerk reaction, they know which button to press to get some of us to behave in a way that is guaranteed to get them the reaction they need to prove to the world that they and everyone is facing a threat from Muslims and Islam. That is what happened in France yet again. And I can assure you this will happen again and again as long as we are willing and obliging enough to cooperate with the provocateurs. Get real people. Talk to whoever you know. I know none of you in this room need this speech. But I got to talk to somebody. So I'm talking to you. Now you go and talk to whoever you know. I know you are angry when people mock Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I'm angry. If you and I did not get angry, our iman would be in question. The problem is not with feeling an emotion, but with the way we express it. All emotions are value neutral. They become positive or negative depending on how they are expressed. This applies to anger, it applies to love, to joy, to grief, everything. Just try expressing love out of context of time and place and see what happens. It's natural for a Muslim to get angry when somebody mocks Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What is not natural is to physically attack the mocker. That is a decision, a very stupid decision, which, as I explained to you, plays right into the hands of those who want you to behave in exactly that way to get what they want. They are delighted, their bait never fails. Muslims always bite dead fish. Surely we are intelligent enough to see this. Or are we? I feel like a broken record saying this again and again, but let me say it anyway. The action of the man who murdered the teacher, who mocked and insulted Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was totally and completely wrong, Islamically and in every other way. Islam does not sanction or support vigilantism, no matter what the provocation may be. Islam does not condone or support the murder of anyone for any reason. Islam stands for justice, the first principle of which, after the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, is the sanctity of human life. All human life, not only the lives of Muslims. Every life is sacred in Islam, and nobody has any right to kill anyone except in self-defense if they are attacked. What Mr. Macron then proceeded to do was a dream come true for all Islamophobes, and even more for those who recruit to extremist causes. That a head of state doesn't have the wisdom to understand this is amazing, to say the least. His action was not an individual's action, but the action of a head of state in his official capacity. If insulting the Prophet of Islam sallallahu alaihi wasallam is freedom of expression, then will you permit me to insult any head of state today? I can ask many such questions, but I will leave you to ask them yourself. I quote one of the greatest fighters for justice who paid for it with his life, Martin Luther King Jr. He said, "There comes a time when silence is betrayal. One's lives and our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter. In the end, we will remember not the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends." He also said, "There comes a time when one must take a position that is neither safe, nor politic, nor popular, but he must take it because his conscience tells him that it is right." I say to you, O people of conscience everywhere, Muslim or not, the time has come to speak out against all hatred. Hatred is fire, and the result is always ash. Speak out against Islamophobia. Speak out against the demonization of Muslims in Islam. Speak out because it concerns you as much as it concerns Muslims. أقول قولي هذا استغفر الله لي ولكم فلسائر المسلمين فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد, let me quote another Frenchman, Alphonse de Lamartine, poet, politician, historian, educationist and writer, who wrote about the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم. He said, if the grandeur of the aim, the smallness of the means, and the immensity of results are the three measures of a man's genius, who would dare humanly compare a great man of modern history with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Makes you wonder what this great scholar and historian saw, which escapes Mr. Macron. To hate somebody you never met and don't know is the classic definition of bigotry. When world leaders indulge in it, they consciously or inadvertently sanction and legitimize it for other bigots. That is what is happening today in many countries. This is what we must all fight together. There may be a price to pay for speaking out against injustice, but the cost of silence is higher. I recall the famous words of Pastor Martin Naimola. He said, "First, they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me." Martin Naimola was talking about Hitler's time. Injustice to one is injustice to all. That is Islam. And that is why Islam orders us to stand up against injustice, no matter who commits it, and to defend the victim of injustice, no matter who that might be. My message to you, my brothers and sisters here who are present and those who will hear this khutbah elsewhere: stop reacting. Do the opposite. Stop the game. My brothers and sisters, do not be sad, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the one to whom his Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu said, "Ya ayyuhal nabiyyu inna arsalnaka shahidan wa mubashshiran wa nadhira da'iyan ila Allah bi'idhnihi wa sirajan munira." Allah said, which means, "O Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, verily we have sent you as a witness and as a bearer of good news and glad tidings, and as a warner, and as one who invites to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by his leave, and as a lamp spreading light." He sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the one who, about whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Wama arsalnaka illa rahmatan lil alamin." And we have sent you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not but as a mercy for everything in creation. My brothers and sisters, let me show you Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam through the eyes of a simple shepherd woman, Sayyidatina Umm Ma'bad radiallahu anha, who met him when he was on his way to Yathrib, a refugee with a price on his head, hated by the Quraysh for no reason other than that he invited people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and tried to help the oppressed. So they announced a bounty on him and they tried to kill him. Ma'bad radiallahu anha's description speaks to us across 14 centuries in words so eloquent that scholars of classical Arabic study them to this day. Words that cannot be bettered. Her name was Atika bint Khalid al-Khuzayyah, and her camp was in Khudayd, a place between Makkah and Medina. The story is well known, so I won't tell you the details of the story here. But when her husband returned from grazing his flocks, and he saw that bowl of milk which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had milked from a goat which was too old and too weak to yield any milk, He asked his wife Umm Ma'bad about that. She said, "A blessed man passed by us." He asked her to describe him. And it is then that Umm Ma'bad radiallahu anha said these words. She said, "Listen carefully, this is your Nabi, alayhi salam, sallallahu alayhi wasallam." She said, "I saw a man who is clearly handsome with a beautiful face. He is well built, neither blemished by a big belly, nor disfigured by an unusually small head. The pupils of his eyes are very dark, His eyelashes are very long, and the area around the pupils is extremely white. His eyebrows are perfectly close. He has very dark hair, a rather long neck, and a thick beard. When he remains silent, he is ever contemplative, and when he speaks, eminence and splendor show in his words. His words are like sliding stringed pearls. He is a gifted orator whose words are neither too few nor too many. He has the clearest diction and the most audible voice as he speaks. When you look at him from afar, he is the most handsome of all people. And when you move closer to him, he is the most pleasant of them. You will never be tired of looking at him. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us this, that we look at Muhammad. He is like a branch between two branches. He is the most handsome of the three and the most important of them. He has companions who honor him when he speaks. They listen to his words. And when he orders, when he commands, they hasten to carry out his order. They serve and gather around him. He neither frowns nor nags. Do not grieve, my brothers and sisters. The Macrons of this world have no power to honor or insult anyone. Don't give him the satisfaction of knowing that he managed to hurt you. He displayed his own values, that is all. His behavior doesn't affect us, much less Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who honors and humiliates. And we will see that when we meet him one day, inshallah. And he, Jalla Jalaluhu, said about that, قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ تُؤْتِي الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ وتعز من تشاء وتذل من تشاء بيدك الخير إنك على كل شيء قدير. Say, O Allah, owner of all dominion, you grant dominion to whoever you will, and you take away dominion from whoever you will, and you honor whoever you will, and you disgrace whoever you will. And in your hand is all good. Verily, you have the power to do anything. How can anyone insult the one about whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself declared, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُسَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. الله سبحانه وتعالى said in this ayat of Surah Al-Ahzab, which means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends His salat, His grace, His honors, His blessing on Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also the malaika, the angels, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive him. Oh, you who believe, and this is a command, send your salat and salam, send your greetings and send du'as, and ask Allah to bless Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and greet and salute him with taslim, with salam. When you meet him, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to decree that we meet him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to decree that we meet him in this life, inshallah, fil manam, and that we meet him, inshallah, on his house on the day when all of us are gathered before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. My brothers and sisters, do not grieve, because how can anyone insult the one about whom is Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu said, وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. My brothers and sisters, do not grieve, because how can anyone insult the one whose name is glorified five times a day? 24/7, and the atmosphere of this earth is witness, because it echoes and resounds to the sound of the memory of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. My brothers and sisters, let us remember, nobody can insult Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But what can and does happen is that people who do not know Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they look at us, they interact with us, they speak to us, they deal with us, and that experience they take with them, and they think that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was like us. I remind you and myself, therefore, of the need to ensure that every action of ours, by every action of ours, we demonstrate the meaning of being Muslim. Remember that whether you like it or not, you represent Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. So do it consciously, do it confidently, and do it very carefully. Let us become the contrast for all the Islamophobic propaganda that exists in the world. Let us become the counterpoint for those who want to question the bigoted, racist, and false versions of Islam and of our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's character that Islamophobes propagate. Let people look at us and say, no, this can't be right. Surely this can't be right. This is not true. Let our life, our character, our behavior and dealings speak for us as Muslims and show the beauty of Islam to the world. I want to end with a beautiful incident we saw just the other day on Saturday. The example of Habib Nurmagomedov, who went out on top, finishing his career with an undefeated record after delivering a triangle choke to Dustin Gaethje at the UFC 254 on Saturday. The fighter's reasoning for the choke over an armbar, which is a legal way of breaking his arm, was that his opponent's parents were watching and he didn't want to hurt their son before them. He demonstrated the biggest sign of Islam, mercy. That is what we need. That is what we need. Don't be sad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us, inshallah. And true success is when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Rabbana faghfir lana dhunubana wa kaffir anna sayyiatina wa tawaffana ma'al abrar. Allahumma adina fi man hadait wa afina fi man afait wa tawallana fi man tawallait wa barik lana fi ma a'tait wa qina wasrif anna sharra ma khadait. فإنك تقضي ولا يقضى عليك فإنه لا يضل من واليت ولا يعز من عاديت تباركت ربنا وتعاليت نستغفرك اللهم ونتوب إليك اللهم إنا نجعلك في نهورهم ونعوذ بك من شرورهم اللهم إنا نجعلك في نهورهم ونعوذ بك من شرورهم اللهم إنا نجعلك في نهورهم ونعوذ بك من شرورهم ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار اللهم انصرنا من نصر دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وخذل من خذل دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار يا عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم عدوا يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون أقيموا الصلاة